Ray, are you there? Hey.
Ray? What? Oh, what's going on?
Hey, we're doing a show, man. You were sleeping.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I must have nodded off there.
From WJCT Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Tom Braun. That's Ray Hollister, and this is Deemable Tech. Today's podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Got a question about your computer, smartphone, tablet, or the internet? You can give us a call at 1-888-972-9868, or you can send us an email at questions@deemable.com.
Ray, I've noticed through my keen observational powers that you seem pretty tired today.
Yeah, I had a baby.
Oh.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't have a baby. My wife had a baby.
Okay, that's good to know. So you're not getting a lot of sleep, are you?
No, I'm not. you know, the first one, my daughter, she slept, I mean, it was like bringing home a teenager. She just slept through the night. I think it was like the second week she slept all the way through the night.
Seriously?
Yeah, wow. It was crazy.
That's amazing.
I mean, we didn't complain, but...
Well, apparently you used up all your baby sleep karma, huh?
Man, because this guy, little Zach, man, he does not sleep at all. My wife let me sleep through the night before last so I could go to work.
Wow.
Because otherwise we were just taking turns trying to get some sleep, and yeah, I'm a little tired.
Yeah, well...
But he's freaking adorable.
Oh, I did. You were showing some pictures earlier. Looked great.
Yeah, we did a photo session today with a photographer, Ashley Spites. She's really amazing. But yeah, he's really cute. He was born too early, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
I didn't realize that.
My birthday is the 7th. Mm-hmm. He was born at 6:35 on the 6th. I'm like, 5.5 hours, man. You couldn't have waited.
Well, it's still 6 and 7. You're like back to back.
We were gonna either name him Ray Hollister IV,
right?
Because I'm the 3rd. But since he wasn't a redhead and he wasn't born on my birthday, we decided to go with Zachary.
You have really high standards for your naming conventions.
You know, I mean, it's funny. You know, one of my coworkers pointed out, you know, that's really mean.
Yeah.
Like if we were on the same birthday, because you know. A lot of like credit reports and all that, they go off
true.
They use your birthday, you know, to
like you would
to
always be coming up on each other's
right.
checks.
I mean, like even me and my dad, and he's passed, but his birthday was 3/11/39, and people like we have the same doctor's office, and they still ask me, oh, 12/7 or 3/11. I'm like, seriously, 39 or 80? Come on, you can figure this out. It's not that hard.
you're getting up there in age.
But yeah,
right?
So I imagine if we had the same month and day, that would have been really confusing for people. So
yeah.
It'll always be easy to remember his birthday, though.
That's true.
It's the day before mine. My father-in-law pointed out, I have no birthday now.
you basically obliterated it.
Everyone will come to his birthday party and be like, oh yeah, by the way, happy birthday to you. Yeah.
You'll just be like, and Ray, like on the cake, you know, kind of off to the side.
Exactly.
Like
but that's
wedged
okay.
in there.
That's okay. I'll let him have it.
Hey, also joining us today on the show is our producer, Sean Birch.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's
up, Sean? Congratulations, Ray. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you very much. And thanks to you and Elizabeth and Sean for holding down the fort last week. I haven't listened to the whole episode. I don't listen to this show. I've heard it's not really good.
It's not.
So I never listen to this show. But no, I did listen to part of it, and I fell asleep while I was listening to it. Zach likes it.
It was that good.
Zach was listening to it. Yeah, he liked it. I think he listened to the whole thing.
Great.
Sorry.
Well, if you had been listening, you'd know that we are doing a new segment called Does Not Compute, and that's what we're going to do today, kind of in the interest of keeping things short so we can get Ray home to his baby.
Did I dream that we did it one time when I was here? Was that
we did, but I figured that was...
Oh, okay. Honestly, man, everything is a daydream right now.
Okay, but yeah, so this
we
new segment
is
kind of a quiz type segment, and it's called Does Not Compute. So, Sean, do you have some theme music for us?
I do.
Sean's whipped up a custom segment for us here.
Yeah, let's try this one.
No.
Sean, I think
that's one that's been used before.
I think there might be copyright issues with that. I'm not.
All right.
Sure. I think there's another quiz show that uses that very similar. I mean, it sounds very similar.
What is?
Yeah.
What, I don't know. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll try again next time.
I don't know. Next time. Next time. All right. Next time, though, seriously, I want really good theme music. Okay. Seriously.
Yeah. I won't put us in jeopardy next time.
And I don't want to spin the wheel of fortune either, just before you go there.
I'm so sleep deprived. That question that sounded funny. That joke was funny.
Hey, okay, so we got some questions. Both Ray and Sean can answer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know if I can answer any questions.
Just give it your best shot. The first one is Kosovo, which declared itself an independent state 5 years ago, was excited Kosovo. This week to receive recognition from what major organization that is not the UN?
The EU.
Nope, not the EU.
Soviet Russia.
How about, well, since these are tech questions, how about Google Maps?
Oh, nice.
That's a good answer, but actually that's not what I'm looking for. The answer is Facebook.
Of course.
Yeah, actually, Kosovo has not yet been recognized by either the UN or the EU, but this week it was recognized by Facebook. Users registering on Facebook can now declare themselves to be citizens of Kosovo, and they can check in from locations in Kosovo. And this is not sort of an incidental thing. The government of Kosovo is really excited about this. They say that recognition from Facebook has been a major priority, and the next two milestones they want as far as recognition of their statehood is they want to participate as a sovereign state in the annual Eurovision Song Contest, which I don't know if you guys ever watched that, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it.
They won a spot in the European Champion League in soccer. You've never heard of the Eurovision contest?
No.
Okay, every country in Europe basically has a American Idol kind of contest or something.
Okay.
And they, for their country, they nominate a singer or a group or whatever to present a song.
Is it like where all the blank has talent episode winners like have a death match?
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a death match.
But basically, each country turns in like an incredibly overwrought pop song.
Yeah.
With on this ridiculous stage, and then people vote on it.
Oh, okay.
So. Although I think it was the same thing. Back in 2005, there was one band. I want to say they were from Norway. They were from a Scandinavian country.
Mm-hmm.
And they were called Lordi.
Lordy.
And they were basically Gwar, if you know Gwar. They're all dressed up in like kind of weird like demon outfits.
Yeah.
And they were a metal band.
What is Gwar? I'm thinking Gwar gum.
No, it's like an over the top metal band.
Yeah, okay. They're an American metal band, and they all wear weird costumes.
Oh.
With horns and stuff.
Yeah.
Armor.
And that's basically what this band was. But they're on this show with all of these like poppy like teen idols, and here they were, and I think they won that year. I could be wrong.
That would be awesome.
See, I had an idea for a reality TV show. It's basically where you take, like I was kind of alluding to, you take American Idol or, the so-and-so's Got Talent, America's Got Talent, Uruguay's Got Talent, whatever, and you mix that with The Hunger Games.
Yeah, I'd watch
and
that.
And that's pretty much exactly what it is.
I'm sold. Yeah.
It's where these people who think they have talent kill each other to win.
They hunt each other down.
And the winner either gets a recording contract or a year in Vegas as a headlining act.
It sounds like
it's their choice. That's what makes it different.
It sounds like the lack of sleep is really having an effect on you, right?
It's affecting my creative juices. Like I'm just coming up with great ideas.
Yeah. To bring things back in a little bit.
Before we go to the next question, I realized I have music for the questions. So go ahead and ask the question.
But not for the theme.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next question. A hemispherectomy is a procedure where neurosurgeons remove an entire half of someone's brain, usually to prevent seizures. Mm. Which of the following side effects do not occur after you've had a hemispherectomy? Loss of control of one of your arms, loss of half the vision in each eye, loss of speech, memory loss, or personality change. And I believe
which one does not?
Nope. Yeah, I got it.
What is that from?
It's from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yes, which of these does not ring?
Read them to me again.
Loss of control of one of your arms.
Okay.
Loss of half the vision in each eye.
I'm going to go with that one. That's my final answer.
It could actually be more than one of
can
these.
Can I phone a friend?
Can.
Not from the studio. Well,
it'll be me. I'll be the phone friend.
Okay.
Sean, what do you think?
There's more than one.
It could be...
I don't think any of these happen.
Oh my gosh, I could never be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Yeah. I can't think with this music on.
I'm going to say none of the above.
All right. The only side effects, lots of vision and movement in one arm. Having half your brain removed, and this was what blew my mind, has no effect on speech, memory, or personality.
Hmm.
And that's an entire half of your brain, like not just parts of it, like the whole dang thing.
I've heard of this. There was an NPR piece.
Yeah.
I can't remember what show it was, but there was a story on NPR where they were talking about that. And I was really surprised.
Yeah, because you always hear like, oh, you know, this spot's the language center, this spot's the memory center. So obviously, like, if you took that out, it should go away, right?
But if you take half of it...
Somehow, apparently, the brain's got a mirroring backup system or something. So.
Well, yeah, I did hear that basically the brain compensates for the loss. I don't understand
that. Yeah, but there's some physical effects. You lose control of the arm that was controlled by the hemisphere that's removed. So left arm with right.
So
right
kind of like having
left.
A stroke?
Yeah.
Huh.
And you lose half the vision in each eye.
Well, so I was completely wrong. You do lose half the vision.
Yeah.
How do you lose half the vision?
I guess your field of vision, part of it's controlled by left and part by the right.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow.
So, wow. Yeah.
My brain's only half working right now.
That's true.
But I have the whole thing.
You have the whole thing.
It's only half working.
That's amazing because it seems like you're hardly here.
It's probably less than half, but I can't do the math.
All right. Let's do the next question.
All right.
Question number 3. What strange phenomenon do astronauts in space regularly report when they have their eyes closed?
Loss of gravity. Weight loss. Wait, when they have their eyes closed?
Yeah, specifically when they have their eyes closed. They regularly experience this.
Because I'm thinking they do regularly experience weightlessness, even when their eyes are closed or not. They have to pee.
Okay.
And they have their eyes closed.
Every time I close my eyes, I gotta go pee. Or they fall asleep. I'm sorry.
No idea. This music is really...
It's really intense. Yeah,
it's making me tense, man.
But that is what it's written for. I mean, that's why this music was composed.
I don't know. Do they see something strange every time they close their eyes?
You, sir, are on the right track.
I think it's pee. I still think it's...
No.
It's
not
pee.
Let me tell you now, it's not pee. Yeah, as a matter of fact, the astronauts report seeing, quote-unquote, flashing fairies of light. And this was very consistent since we've been sending people into space. And it was such a phenomenon, such a common phenomenon. NASA eventually tested it. They rigged up this experimental apparatus that the astronauts would wear. And they were able to verify that the flash of light actually coincided with stray cosmic rays, which are intersecting the astronauts' eyeballs. And so apparently what happens is the cosmic rays trigger the rods and the cones in the eyes to like fire. And that causes the astronauts to see a little light display that doesn't actually exist.
That's crazy.
That is scary. That worries me. They shouldn't be seeing light flashes.
Yeah.
In space.
Now
in space.
Space fairies, you know.
Can they sleep? Like, is this something that would prevent them from having a good night's sleep? Or
I haven't. I mean, I didn't see anything that would indicate it was like such a big deal. I think it's more like a kind of a weird thing.
Yeah.
That maybe one person would be like, "Well, that's weird. That's just me, though." But then like. They were all reporting it, and then NASA was like, okay, we have
to check
this out.
Sort of like how you can see like those little squiggly things in your eyes.
Sure.
It would be something similar to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, so a minor effect, but...
But why did they only see it when their eyes were closed?
Well, when their eyes are open, there's light coming into their eyes and overwhelming, you know. It's just like you don't really...
Oh. So if like it was completely dark, they might have seen it too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, like those spots might still be there. When their eyes are open, but since they can see everything else,
Oh, that's scary. I wonder what it does to them, like, long-term.
Well, you know, long term, obviously they're getting bombarded by cosmic radiation, and that's actually a big concern with astronauts.
Yeah, that's why we're not going to Mars.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. You know, the longer term you're up there, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but one of the ways to get a nice dose of radiation is to take an airplane.
Yeah, I didn't know
that. You know, the higher you are up in the atmosphere, the more radiation you receive. Yeah. And obviously,
commercial airline pilots have a higher rate of cancer because of that.
Astronauts are not in the atmosphere at all. So
There's no magnetosphere covering them. Well, at least for like the Apollo astronauts. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So does it now? I know because I just Googled it. I know this because I Googled. I know that the Apollo astronauts experience that. Is that something that, like, on the ISS they experience it too? Because they're still in the magnetosphere.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm waking up. I'm remembering things.
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer.
Oh, actually, according to Wikipedia, yes, they have experienced it on the space ISS station.
Okay. Huh. Hmm. Cool. Did you see Gravity?
I have not seen Gravity.
I saw it a couple weeks ago with a friend of mine, and, you know, they wind up on the ISS. It's pretty cool.
I love Canadian astronaut. Anybody know his name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He's awesome.
Mitch. Is that a Mitch?
No.
No, he's not a Mitch.
Hang on. Canadian astronaut.
Is he a Robert?
Chris Hadfield.
I was going to go for every middle name.
He was on a late night show talking about Gravity, you know, asking him if it was really like authentic. And he's like, oh, no, it's not authentic at all. It's awesome. It's really good. But
is
no,
that the
it's
same
not authentic.
Guy? Is that
no.
the same guy who played Space Oddity?
Yes.
Yep.
That's yes. That guy. Yep. He's awesome. There's he did this bunch of YouTube videos that were like, why didn't someone do these YouTube videos before? Like, how do you drink water in space?
Yeah.
Or
no,
how do you wash your hands in space?
His YouTube videos are great. I've seen the washing hands one.
He was a
and
genius. A like, I don't care what else he did. Those videos, like, every penny that the Canadian Space Administration spent on him was worth it because of those videos. That made people want to be astronauts again.
Yeah, definitely. Go to YouTube.com and search for Chris Hadfield, and you can find some really cool videos of him out on the ISS demonstrating stuff in
all kinds of
zero
stuff.
Gravity.
And the very first music video in space. He beat Lady Gaga.
Oh, well.
Lady Gaga is going to do it. Next year or the year after?
Oh, really?
She's booked for a Virgin Galactic flight to do a music video.
Interesting.
So,
well,
she got
to
beat
that.
By Chris Hadfield. What? I don't know. That was stupid.
All right. Let's move on to the next question.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have those questions. You'll have to read it.
Yeah. All right. More people have this than have access to safe drinking water or toilets in the world today. More people have this than have access to safe drinking water or toilets in the world today.
Probably some sort of disease related to not having safe drinking water.
Sean?
I'm going to say internet access or a cell phone.
You
it's
got
a
it.
Cell phone.
Yeah, it's a cell phone.
I agree with him.
Yep. I agree with the person who just said it had the right answer. Good job, Ray.
Oh, it's
good
right? Job. Oh, good.
Yeah, it is. The World Health Organization estimates that more than 700 million people do not have access to clean drinking water, and over 2.5 billion have no access to toilets. Yet, according to the International Telecommunications Union, 96% of the world is connected via a cell phone. Therefore, more people have cell phones than have clean drinking water on the planet Earth today.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier to install cell phone towers than it is to install toilets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think of how many toilets can serve.
Yeah.
How many people a toilet can serve.
Sleep deprived Ray is my new favorite Ray. Sean can back me up on this.
He'll get there eventually.
Words. How many people a toilet can serve versus how many people a cell phone tower can serve.
That's true.
You know, when you figure you probably have the same amount of infrastructure costs to put in a toilet as you do for a cell phone tower.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's probably a little bit more expensive to put in a cell phone tower.
I don't know. Clean water, you know, that's a problem in a lot of places.
That takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
That a clean well costs about the same as a cell phone tower in my sleep-deprived state. I believe that's true. I'm 50% sure that's 100% true.
Excellent.
But that's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually been, and based on this factoid, there's actually been some efforts and to do charity work based on this, where, you know, people would be able to send money through cell phones and things like that, because of the fact that cell phones are almost completely ubiquitous now on Earth. So it's a great way to reach people.
Yeah. And this reminds me of something I've been hemming and hawing about that I meant to talk to you about. So we'll talk about it on the show first.
Okay.
Something that I care a lot about is access to computers. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people, homeless and underprivileged children, who don't have access to computers. And I think in America, at least, we look at technology as toys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun. It's, you know, we play. These are our toys. And we get into that mentality here on the show. I mean, we love our gadgets. We love playing with them. Mm-hmm. But they make a difference between access to resources that otherwise people don't have.
That's true.
And I've been thinking about that and trying to wrap my head around, okay, well, are there charities that mm-hmm. help people get access to computers?
Yeah, that would be cool to do something like that.
But at the same time, like, water is so much more important than even computers, even though as much as I value that. Mm-hmm. So we might do something like that or partner with somebody to help them. I don't know.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah. When I'm not sleep deprived.
When you're not sleep deprived. Okay, yeah. Cool. We'll bookmark that. All right. The last question for today.
Last question.
And this is a really favorite story of mine. okay. In 1959, a Marine Corps fighter pilot.
That was so offensive and yet really funny.
A Marine Corps fighter pilot made the longest parachute jump ever attempted. Now, not in distance. That would be...
Felix Baumgartner.
But the longest in duration.
Oh. Hmm.
So how long, and this was 1959, how long would you guess that this guy was up in the air for?
2 hours.
Wow, 2 hours. Okay.
John. You asked me to guess, so I did.
30 days.
A year.
I'll go
He's
with...
He's still up there.
So what, how many years would that be? 50 years?
Yeah, I think so.
50-some years?
Yeah. 40-some, 40-some.
They just fly food up to him. Yeah. He has grandchildren.
I'll go with...
in space.
45 minutes.
45 minutes. Okay, you guys... both guess longer than I thought you would. but Sean is actually very, very close. He was in the air for 40 minutes.
Wow. Actually really cool. How long is the average?
Probably 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I think I knew 2 hours was ridiculous.
I think you go pretty fast when you're falling.
So there's a favorite website of mine called daminteresting.com.
Oh.
Kids ask your parents. But it's actually it's pretty safe for work, other than possibly the URL, depending on how sensitive your work is. But they had this amazing story, and it's true. Like, all the stories on this site are true. But basically, this guy's named Bill Rankin. He was returning to base in Beaufort, North Carolina, when his engine died while he was at 47,000 feet above a thunderstorm. And he was actually forced to eject over this massive cumulonimbus column of the thunderstorm. And he went into the storm, and his emergency chute had a device on it, a barometric pressure sensing device that was supposed to deploy the chute when you reach a certain altitude. Mm-hmm. But because of the storm, it released the chute too early while he was still way up in the storm. Huh. And so for the next 40 minutes, he was just floating around up there. He was being buffeted by updrafts through the air, being pelted by rain from every direction because he was in the cloud, lightning crashing and exploding around him. And at one point, actually, he had trouble breathing because of all the water vapor and the moisture that was up there. And he was afraid that he would drown in the sky.
Wow. How long was he again?
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Also, remember, other than lightning flashes, it was pitch black. So he couldn't see a dang thing while this was going on.
And this was 1959?
59, yeah.
So we're talking like traditional parachutes.
Yes.
Like the round ones. Oh, that is crazy. Who's this guy again?
Bill Rankin.
That's funny. I was just looking up Felix's flight, and his flight was only 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, normally it goes by pretty quickly. It's amazing what
gravity will
do for you.
Well, he was in free fall for that long.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure. Oh, I guess that means that would be from start to finish. Free fall, right? Or is that a specific speed?
I don't know if that means before your chute deploys or not.
Hmm. That's crazy, though.
But yeah, amazingly, he made it back to the ground, and he lived to tell the tale. And to this date, no one has ever repeated his feat and lived. Probably no one would want to try and repeat his feat. So
you know, with all all of these movies like Gravity and the new one that Robert Redford's in, I can't think of the title of the movie where he's trapped on the boat that's sinking by himself out in the middle of a rainstorm.
Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Why has no one made this story into a movie?
There was a book. He wrote a book called The Man Who Rode the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a cool story. I'd love to see this.
Yeah.
Wow. He immediately suffered frostbite and decompression, which caused his eyes, ears, nose, and mouth to bleed. Mm-hmm. I love Wikipedia.
Yeah. I mean, I have never been skydiving, but I think you're supposed to jump from about 20 or 30,000. And this was 40, so he was much higher than you're supposed to be, and you're certainly not supposed to jump over a thunderstorm. But he had no choice; like his plane was crashing.
Wow! Yeah.
So there weren't other options. You know, it was pull the cord and hope for the best. So yeah, so that's a really cool story. Not many people know about, but 1959, Bill Rankin set the world record,
and that's cool. One bolt had actually lit up his parachute.
Oh really?
Wow, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yep. Well, that's does not compute for today. We'll be back next time with more fun facts and crazy stories. Hey, if you guys are enjoying this and you have cool, true facts that we could use that are just about technology or science and that are interesting, you know, send them in. Questions@dmbowl.com is a good address to email us at, and we will use them in a future segment.
Yep, and thanks for all your questions, and keep them coming. Call us at our toll-free number. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email at questions@dmbowl.com. And hey, we are preparing for that first Deemable Tech hour-long radio episode, so get those calls in, 1-888-972-9868, to audition for the show. And subscribe to the show. Search for Deemable Tech on iTunes, YouTube, Facebooks, Twitters, all that stuff. Gosh. Our producer is Tom Braun. I'm Sean Birch. That's Ray Hollister. I'm Tom Braun. This is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening. Good night. Hey guys, I fell asleep before. I forgot to mention this is going to be our last episode of the year. So have a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Hanukkah's over with. That's all the holidays I know of. Happy New Year, all that stuff. And we will see you next year, 2014, with a new lineup of Deemable Tech episodes. And we're going to be working on that radio special. So stay tuned. See you in 2014. Good night. So, yeah, we can really just relax because we got 10 seconds to play with.
Relax. Go to it. Yeah, that's the word. You got it. Okay.